Hi there. Welcome to the Market Maven podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Dillon Jensen, a fashion designer turned farmers market director, a social media specialist, and small business advocate. In this podcast, we peel back the layers of farmers markets, diving into the why behind the 10x10 tents, showcasing the roots behind the organizations, and connecting those in our communities through education, stories, and more. Tune in this season to learn about how my job is weird, but worth it, bringing produce and powerful stories to the people. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 22 of the Market Maven podcast. Today, I'm talking with Mara Williams, founder of The Little Books of Big Business, as well as Success Street Coaching. Mara played a huge role in the creation of the Market Maven podcast, as well as the elevated experience we're creating with the Snohomish Farmers Market Kids Vendor Day this Thursday, August 17th. So welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Sarah.
I would love to invite you to share some background about your business, specifically the Little Books of Big Business, and then also the Success Street Coaching, if you want to go into that too.
I would love to. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I'm so proud of you for starting the Market Maven.
Oh, thank you.
My favorite episode is about Tallulah, your adventures in camping. I just love it. So
there haven't been enough adventures with Tallulah this summer because I don't feel like sleeping in a really hot box.
Ah, that makes good sense. Yes. So the question is the business background of the Little Books of Big Business.
Yes.
This is really my passion project. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was running a group coaching program, and I was asking each of the participants to go for a big dream, something they didn't think they could get, something they really wanted, and I decided to do it along with them. I wanted to experience what they were experiencing, and that was writing a book. I wanted to write a book. It was something I didn't think I could get, some big wish. I decided to write about what I loved, and that is brownies. That's my favorite dessert. Business. I've been in business a long time in various forms. And I love youth fiction, that genre of The Little House on the Prairies, Anne of Green Gables, that stuff.
Oh, yeah, mine too. Those are some of my childhood favorites too.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where it started. As a business owner, I just wrote about what I knew. So the first book, Cat Casey Turns Brownies into a Business, is about a 11-year-old girl who gets an order for 500 brownies and has to figure out how to make a profit and some financial literacy things. And I went forth and I published it. I wrote 3 other books. The Little Books of Big Business is a 4-book series. Each kid starts their own business. There's a pet sitting one and different elements to it. And I found a place for them. They really started resonating with people, especially related to entrepreneurship for kids and financial literacy. I went back and got a financial literacy educator certification just so I could be really clear that I was giving great information, and it's just taken off from there. So that's kind of where it started.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
It was a goal that you had that you didn't think that you could.
I didn't think I could do it. And now when I look on my wall and I have them sitting up on their little shelves, I'm so happy and proud of them.
Yeah. You should be.
Yeah. And it's evolved. That's the cool thing. It's not just about the books anymore. Mm-hmm. It's about all the underneath, which is what we get to talk about today.
Yes.
Yeah.
What values were important to you when you began the Little Books of Big Business?
That's where, as an author, you really get to do what you want. And so the values that I brought in were positive adult role models. There's grandparents, parents, really teaching the kids lifelong lessons in simplified and dynamic ways. So kids are really smart. They can understand. And I wanted to talk at that level with kids. Another of my big values, and this is just me personally, is I'm a low technology for kids kind of person. So if you're learning math, for example, you don't learn on a calculator, right?
Right.
You have chalk or pencils and paper, you stomp it out. And with the books, I didn't introduce the idea of computers and cell phones. It's not that they can't exist within the world of the little books. I just wanted kids to learn. And this particularly applies to cash. Cash is definitely king in the Little Books of Big Business.
Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about, you know, we'll dive into Kids Vendor Day a little bit more in a bit. But when we're talking about kids doing these businesses, they might not be able to get a Venmo or a PayPal or have a Square set up or even have social media presence yet unless they're working with their parents directly. So I think that that's really
inspiring that it wasn't just all about get your website, get your Facebook page. You know, that's so easy for people to say, for us adults in business, you've got to have all these things. Whereas kids, it's not necessarily possible.
Well, and it's also not possible for people in certain socioeconomic demographics.
Absolutely.
They may not have internet in a rural area, or they may not have a laptop that kids can just pop up. So I want everyone to be able to access this.
I love that too. What is your favorite part of the Little Books of Big Business? What is just like the most exciting thing about it for you?
The favorite part for me of the Little Books of Big Business is the empowerment piece. Mm-hmm. It goes in many different directions, but when you see kids building self-esteem because they've translated an idea into a service or a product and they're learning, that is very empowering. They're exploring, they're discovering. And there's also a connection of empowerment with the families, mm-hmm. because that's become my real underlying message, is we need to talk to our kids about money, but you don't just sit them down one day and wag your finger at them and talk to them about money. It's a dynamic conversation. So when families are playing and involved, it builds that empowerment for everyone. That's my favorite part.
That's really cool. Yeah. And it goes above and beyond just, you know, chores for allowance. You know, this is a whole higher depth of learning and experiencing and understanding a little bit more about your purchasing power. We do that with the Power of Produce Kids Club too, is that they're doing an activity and they get $2 as a reward for it. And then they can either save that or they can spend it at the market as well.
Yeah, that's very empowering for everyone that's involved with it. I agree. Mm-hmm.
And it starts those relationships with the farmers that they're purchasing from. We have kids that I've seen, you know, obviously you can't see on the podcast, but, you know, start from here, which is really, really little. And now they're teenagers and they're still coming back and they're still talking to those same farmers that they purchased from years and years and years ago.
So. I was running a block party event yesterday. I played Sarah in the role of Sarah yesterday in my local neighborhood block party. And I have tagged a couple of the young boys to take the tickets for the ice cream. It wasn't an exchange of money, mm-hmm. but they were still taking the tickets. And The one young boy, he's about 12. He did it last year, ran the whole thing, got the ice cream to the vendors, took the tickets. And I saw him earlier this summer and he asked me, can I please volunteer for that? He wanted to be behind that table. And he was there yesterday for 3 hours running that table.
Wow.
Really empowering for him.
That's really cool. Yeah. So it goes beyond also just, you know, a child having their own items to sell. Like, he really wanted to help that business and work in that business. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was. And I had a 16-year-old girl in my booth. So it's every, all ages can participate in the economy. Yeah.
We're building the future of market vendors and staff.
It's so exciting.
I love it. What's a common myth about your business?
A common myth about my business is that I'm going to tell you what to do. Both in coaching, people think I'm just going to tell you what to do. And that's, no, coaching is listening. With the Little Books of Big Business, it is inspiration and education. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you what to do with your money. I'm inspiring you to have conversations about money with kids. I'm inspiring kids to ask questions. Money is not just knowledge. It is behavior. And that's the inspiration. That's kind of the myth of maybe what financial education might be.
Great. What is the most important lesson that you've learned in your career, whether it's the little books or with Success Street Coaching?
I thought about this one coming in. I had a couple of these questions early, and I came up with two. One is that people need a community. Being an entrepreneur, even being in a career by yourself, is very isolating. So those solopreneurs, you and I go to the Chamber of Commerce meetings, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm seeing happen with these kids in our program. We'll talk about that in a minute, is I'm seeing sort of a junior chamber start to emerge. We need community. The other lesson I've learned in my career is you need to do what you're good at and what you love. Yes, we do need to work and we need to push through and we do things we don't always love, right? Mm-hmm. But in general, when you're following your own individual path on things that you like, then you do more of it. You're more interested in learning about it, studying at school, developing businesses around it. You still have to find demand. You still have to find someone that'll buy your product. But if you can follow and find that authentic path, there's a high level of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Rather than working for somebody else or whatever that might be.
Whatever
the
that
grind.
Might be. Yeah, and some people are very career focused, and that is wonderful.
Absolutely.
But if they can also find those elements of things that they love, sometimes you just need that good enough job, and then you can do your hobby on the side. Mm-hmm. I teach that as well. But it's the opportunity to explore what you love, just like the little books. I just explored what I loved, and it's become something else. Coaching is still my primary focus business, but this is emerging as a big piece of it now.
Ironically, when I grew up in Alaska, I loved our state fair, which is not your typical state fair with just like funnel cakes and direct sales businesses and the ShamWow or anything like that. It's actually hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of small businesses and farms that culminate in this large 2-week event. And I loved that. And then we got a couple of farmers markets right before I left for college. And I just loved them. I loved them so much. I never thought that I would be directing them.
You've hit it actually a nail on the head right there. When we engage kids in this type, whether it's the lemonade stand, pet walking, whatever the simple businesses, the farmers market vendors, they start to learn what they love. Mm-hmm. And then they can move towards that in a more direct fashion. But most people think, anyone listening to this now, if you think about what you loved when you were 10, 11, and 12, mm-hmm. you probably still love it. I loved having the opportunity in junior high. I got to run the school store and count the cash.
Yeah.
The cash box. I mean, look what I'm doing now. I love teaching people about cash and counting cash and that whole thing. My older son is an engineer. He loved Legos. We knew early on his brain was organized like that. We made sure he had opportunities to explore that. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to become an engineer, but it was a natural fit.
Yeah.
And so that's what kids at farmers market are having the opportunity to learn too.
Yeah. So let's dive into Kids Vendor Day. So this year it's a culmination of two separate educational events that have already happened in June and July. And now it's culminating this Thursday with the actual Kids Vendor Day taking place at the farmers market. So what many, you know, market goers don't realize this year, even though we've been advertising it for months, I don't think that everybody understands that it's different this year. I mean, our kid vendors do, obviously, and their parents do, and most of our vendors do. But essentially this year, what we did, we partnered with the Little Books of Big Business, as well as the Snohomish Chamber, and we created a first kidpreneur class in which they got their little kits that you made, which were adorable little bags with some fake money in there and some stickers and the book. And then we all gathered together on a rainy day in June. It's 9,000 degrees out. I know we're like, rain, that would be so lovely right now. But anyways, and they got to kind of learn from each of us in business. Also, Jessica with Bloss was there and just kind of teaching some different aspects of what it means to have their business. And then they got to create a business plan, kind of go over and, network with some ideas with their table and others at their tables, and then ask questions, you know, the things that they don't know. So we were there to kind of guide them. And then in July, we invited these kids to the chamber meeting. So they got a chance to kind of do a trial run on their business. They had some time to work on it, and then they had some time to set up their displays, get pricing and cost of goods and all that kind of stuff worked out, and then really do some transactions, whether it was with their parents' Venmo or with cold hard cash. And that was really exciting to see so many of them break out of their shells, you know, to actually engage with adults that they had never met. It was scary enough at our first event to interact with kids that they had never met. Most of these kids don't know each other at all. And then a month later, they obviously had practiced. And so we got to see that whole thing. What got you excited about this new layout and this program when Nancy kind of brought it up to us?
That's a great question, Sarah. There's a quote that I love from Benjamin Franklin, and it goes like this: tell me and I forget, teach me and I may remember, involve me and I learn.
I love that.
That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's probably the shortest answer of all. I love it. What do you feel kids can learn from this specific experience above and beyond what you've already talked about?
This is like a spider web of learning that they're getting. So they're getting the financial concepts, everything from expenses, like the words profit, budget, what do those mean? Saving, spending. They're also getting soft skills, things like critical thinking, communication, planning. Mm-hmm. Have to figure out how they're going to produce these projects, these goods that they're going to sell. They're also getting that discovery piece of what they like. We talked about that a little bit, and the self-esteem building. And another piece that I think is really important that we haven't talked about yet is the idea of boosting their literacy just by reading the book. That is a really big part that I have come to learn about financial literacy is actual literacy. The more that they read and can write a good email to or a resume to get a job, that communication piece about it increases about four times their financial literacy. So when they're whether they're reading with their parents together, reading or just reading the single book, that's also a big piece. So much of a web of things that they're learning.
Absolutely. I also think as a market director, from the standpoint of, you know, they're reading the emails that I send out, and I'm really not, you know, taking them down a level. I'm sending them just like I would to a vendor, maybe with a little less anger because vendors sometimes push the limits. And they're also experiencing, you know, we're at a heat advisory this week and we can't cancel this event. The market goes on either way. So they're having to do some last minute preparations. We did have a sponsor come through that's doing a shade tent. She's going to have a full cooler of Gatorade and waters and a cooling station and everything. So that was really cool. She's a vendor, so she knows how to pivot.
Wonderful.
But also just, learning about the differences and the things that come up, and you've planned and prepared for these things. A lot of them had to redo a lot of their inventory after the chamber event because they were selling out of things, which I thought was a great experience in learning for them.
The best part of learning is going back and reviewing, and that's a part of their kit. There's a review sheet in there so they can look and see how many did they sell, what was their pricing, did they make a profit, did they cover their expenses, and now they can come into this farmer's market really strong. So I'm really happy that we divided this into three sessions.
Me too.
Because it's going to come full circle for them on Thursday.
I agree. What do you feel just in general that kids can learn from this experience? Above, you know, we've talked about this, we've kind of touched on a lot of these, but just, you know, the more direct, what are they learning directly?
I think they're tapping into that lifelong financial capacities, skills that they need. When kids are under 14, 15 years old, before they get in that angsty teenage, you can't tell them anything kind of moment. They're learning how to have discussions with their parents. Parents have been involved along the way. Each of them have brought a parent or guardian with them. And that is a big piece of the learning, is how to talk about money as a family. And it will continue as they make decisions about buying a car, paying for gas and insurance, which college or training to pay to go into, connecting the career. So that's a bigger piece to me. It's more than just learning to sell some plants and soaps, right?
To make money.
Yeah. It reaches so much further.
Absolutely. How do you think that I don't have children, but just encouraging kids when they come up or when they participate in the farmer's market with their parents as customers, or in general, you know, parents out there that are looking to have their kids start a small business, how do you think that we can encourage these young entrepreneurs in just everyday life more?
I believe in my whole heart that it takes a full community to raise kids to be financially literate. Neighbors can pay kids in cash when they mow their lawn or walk their dog. I have a good friend who's an aunt, and she has three nieces and nephews, and this is her mission with them. She helps them focus on saving money and spending. Grandparents love to talk about this topic because parents are busy and they may not have thought about bringing this into the household yet. It's a great activity to start working with your grandkids about, so everyone can participate.
Now, I know this isn't your first rodeo with working with a small group of children. What other groups have you worked with in a similar role?
I've had some really fun projects and programs. I've worked with the Girl Scouts of Western Washington. They have also done a similar kit, and we had a local business let them do pop-ups, so they got to sell their products. That was really cool. That was a lot of learning happening there. And then I have a program that runs at the Boys and Girls Club. It's a little bit different. They're not making their own products. We don't have the capacity to bring in actual, you know, wool and knit things and so forth. So they build their products out of paper. They each make their own storefront on paper. Like, as an example, they make one of them makes a bakery, mm-hmm. and then they make cupcakes out of paper and color them.
Oh,
and
fun.
Actually, it's next week, I'm going to the final culmination of the 10 weeks, and they will have this pop-up marketplace, and there's pretend cash, little books, bucks, mm-hmm. that they'll exchange. And it's fun. There's some Otter Pops or ice cream that is happening, and
aww.
They do an exchange, and that one happens for 10 weeks during the summer, so that's super fun.
That's super fun.
Yeah.
And it's keeping kids engaged in that time during the summer when, you know, most don't go to year-round school here. So keeping that kind of learning and experience going during the summer, I feel like is important.
It is important. And the schools are run so tight with what they have time to teach. I am working on a project right now that will help hopefully get access to kids in schools. But right now, any of these outside organizations, it's a great place for that financial literacy education.
So my next question, and I know that you've answered it pretty much a few times over, but if there's anything else, what are you most excited about with the event on Thursday? Like, what's the most exciting moment? I know what my exciting moment is just on any given market day is like 3 o'clock when we're open and it's all come together and there's no other fires to put out currently. I can take that breather. So I know that's probably what they're going to be experiencing, but then there's the nervousness of, you know, anticipation. Am I going to sell anything? But what's yours for having kind of taught them some of the things that they're learning for this day?
My excitement is watching them in action, letting them just step forward at their table and have the communication with the adults. I witnessed it happening at the chamber meeting. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
The kids were so smart.
Yes.
The sign of one of the kids, all sales final.
Yes. I loved one. That so much.
They are savvy. And that's part of the point of all this is they really do have the capacity to learn and grow and develop. I promise you that these kids will continue to have new ideas. The thing about having that lemonade stand or even the farmer's market thing, it's not, they don't have to go on and make soap for the rest of their life.
Right.
It is the stepping stone to the next idea, mm-hmm. and the next plan. And so that's what I'm excited about is watching this full circle moment and then waiting to see what happens next.
Yeah. And I think next year we'll really know, you know, I think after this event, we'll get some feedback and they'll probably be like, when can I sign up again?
Exactly.
I think we're going to have to expand this next year, which is exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great. And I've already had some, you know, preteen tweens ask about something like this for next year too. So kind of our vision is coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that you were new to the Snohomish Farmers Market this year. Can you talk about your experience as a customer as well and why maybe you feel like farmers markets, how they impact your community of Snohomish?
I adore the farmer's market in Snohomish. I recently opened my office on 2nd Street downtown. I'm adjacent to the farmer's market, and I have been to everyone except for the one when I was on a plane heading to California. So
it's okay. I forgive you.
Okay, thanks. I have my bags. I have my hat. I have my sunscreen. And I've made friends and relationships. It is my way of supporting the community. I make sure I have cash to pay the vendors. They have Venmo accounts or other ways, Square and things. Mm-hmm. I try and help them out by not having to have them pay those fees.
Right.
And it's just been a delight. I've really challenged myself to eat as much as possible from the farmer's market every week, from pasta to fish and beef and all the vegetables, mm-hmm. everything. I really, I'm all in, Sarah.
I love it. Yay. I love to hear that.
Yeah.
It's come so far and I love seeing that. I love somebody coming in brand new and being able to actually talk with that person because I'll see new people all the time, but I can't just run up and, you know, do a podcast episode with them and say, what do you like about the farmer's market?
I love everything about it.
I'm not going to love 90 degrees, but you know what? We're going to do it either way. It doesn't matter. All right. Now for some personal stuff. Do you have anything going on in your life that you're excited about?
I am going to be a grandma.
Congratulations.
It's new news, not happening till next year, but it's that next generation and it's pretty exciting.
And we can look for them in about 6 years to have a stand.
That's
at
right.
the vendor
our first pop-up shop.
It's vendor day market.
That's a great idea.
We've got to get them early.
Start them early.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Really exciting. All right. You're probably familiar with this one. If you had the attention of the whole world for a few moments, what would you say?
If I had the attention of the whole world, what I would say would come back to family is talk to your kids, your nieces, your nephews, your grandkids about money. Let it be normalized. I have two boys that are 23 and 26. And this is a part of what we just did. We owned our own small business. We talked about it at the dinner table. They moved inventory. They sat behind the shop counter. It was just normal. When we got to be teenage age, then we included them in decision making, what kind of car, what kind of rate we would get. When we moved about 5 years ago, we invited them to sit with us and talk to the real estate agents and ask their own questions.
Wow.
They coach me. We talk about investments. They're fully autonomized. They have their own housing, cars, everything that they need. And so the dynamic of raising kids that and within that family that you can talk to each other, because as I get older, I'm going to need more help and want them. I want them to know what my preferences are, what I like.
Right.
So that would be what I would say to the world is start the conversation. Doesn't have to be one time. In fact, it can't just be one time.
Right.
It has to
be ongoing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything surrounding your business that we haven't covered that you want to say before we close out, or anything in general?
I think I would just say that I'm feel so embraced by Snohomish, the surrounding community, business community. I feel so privileged to be here. I'm living my dream, working with local business owners on entrepreneurship. We're always spiraling up as business owners. Mm-hmm. And I've been so welcomed from the chamber to the farmers market. And I feel really lucky to be where I am right now. So I guess that's just I'd want to just express gratitude and how thankful I am.
I love that. Well, we're very grateful for you as well. I know you've just made so many connections and helped connect people and helped people like me with this and my business. I don't think I'd be here. I mean, who knew 22 episodes in? Like that was almost impossible thinking 6 months ago. I even lose track of the episode numbers now. I'm like, wait, is it really 22?
That's impressive.
Thank you.
It's exciting.
And you remember when we talked, it wasn't going to go during market season. I was not going to do them because it was just going to be too much. But I've enjoyed it so much. So it's finding that joy in the things that you love to do. And it's just sharing the stories. And I think that that's helping overall the farmers markets this year, which is nice.
You're adding a lot of value in many layers, not just to me as a consumer, but the vendors, other markets across the state, and I assume across the country. I know in some of the podcasts you shared, your trip was at Arizona or New Mexico?
New Mexico.
And I know you're going to be in Alaska.
Yes.
I just really see this as a bright spot for so many people. Retail is not easy.
No,
and so
it's
by
not.
Bridging this idea between retail and online and putting a farmer's market in where people can access people, build that relationship, and then be able to go back and follow them and order things or however they do that, whether it's Instagram or online carts and things. It's a really key part of our economy, and I think you're really a bridge to that.
Thank you. Last fun question, what's your favorite find? I know it's hard. It's a loaded question.
I didn't prepare for this either. Let's see, what is my favorite find?
At the farmer's market, obviously.
Yes, at the farmer's market. Oh my gosh, this is so hard.
I feel like it's the hardest question I ask for most people.
It is the hardest part. I'm going to give a shout out to the charcuterie.
Smorgasbord. Yep.
That's a great find.
I'm so excited that Maria joined us. She joined two out of the three of my markets, and I love it because it's so easy.
It is so easy. I had a workshop at my office, and I just went down and bought three or four different flavored versions. It's beautiful. It's so intentional. It's really fun. So that's my favorite find. But I love the fish and all the other and the vegetables and everything.
Of course.
I think my favorite find.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on here today. Super last minute. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Market Maven podcast. You can find out more about what I do, along with direct links to farmers markets I manage, at www.yourmarketmaven.com. Check out the show notes for links,